Dark storm cloud blots out the sun. In a rocky patch of ground, a rabbit and a group of birds forage over the soil. They scatter as two men wearing brimmed hats run past them. As the men sprint through a grove of trees, dozens of men carrying rifles chase them. The two men glance over their shoulders as they run. Stopping, the two men hop into a narrow creek. One man nods at the other, then pulls tall plants over his face as he leans against the bank with just his head above the surface. The armed men leap across the creek several yards from the two submerged men. Later, the two men, tall Lenny and dark-haired George, run alongside a rolling freight train. In an open boxcar, one man plays a mouth harp for several others sitting along its wooden walls. George climbs into the freight car. Lenny hops up after him. George pulls the car door shut. Written on the outside of the door, "The best laid schemes of mice and men, yang aftaglay and leave us not, but grief and pain for promised joy." Robert Burns. Hal Roach presents Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck, a Lewis Milestone production. With Burgess Meredith, Betty Field, Lon Chaney Jr., and Charles Bickford, Roman Bonin, courtesy of Group Theater of New York, Bob Steele, and Noah Beery Jr. Produced and directed by Lewis Milestone. At dusk, plumes of dark smoke rise from the train's stack as it rolls beneath gray skies. A crowded bus drives around a bend in the highway. On board, people sleep or gaze out of the windows. Lenny smiles as he peers at the passing countryside. Next to him, George dozes.
George?
What do you want?
Where are we going?
Forgot that already, did you?
Oh, I forgot. I tried not to forget. Honest, I did.
Okay, I'll tell you again. I got nothing else to do. Might as well spend my time telling you things. You forget them and I'll tell you again.
I tried, but it didn't do no good. I remember about the rabbits, George.
Oh, yeah. It's the only thing you can remember is them rabbits. Don't you remember us going into Johnson and Beatty's in Frisco? And they give us the bus tickets and the work cards?
Oh, sure, I remember that now.
Digging through his pocket, Lenny furrows his brow.
George?
What?
I ain't got mine. I must have lost it.
You never had none. I got them both here. Think I let you carry your own work card?
I thought I put it right here in my side pocket.
George peers out of the window.
I think we're getting to it. I'm going to ask the driver.
They step to the front of the bus.
How far to number 3 ranch, bud?
Didn't I take you guys to weed just a short time ago?
Don't strain your memory. Just answer my question.
Okay. Don't get sore.
The driver stops the bus.
It's just a little stretch down the road.
He opens the door.
You'll do better if you get off here.
Come on, Lenny.
With satchels slung over their shoulders, George and Lenny step off the bus. George and Lenny walk through open countryside. On a sign, Ranch Number 3, 10 miles. Soledad Land Company.
Ranch Number 3, 10 miles? Soledad Land Company. 10 miles! And just a little stretch up the road, he says. 10 miles on the hottest day we've had.
If I ever see that bus driver again, I'll bust his nose.
George stops and drops his satchel. He picks up a rock and hurls it at a sign, striking the image of a man sitting on a train. Next time, try the train. Cool, air-conditioned, Southern Pacific. George and Lenny walk down the long, winding road. Later, stepping out of some woods, George motions toward a creek.
Oh.
Lenny hops over a fallen tree, lies on the bank, then sticks his face into the water.
Lenny!
George hurries to the water's edge.
Hey, Lenny! Hey, Lenny, don't drink so much water. You're gonna be sick. Lenny, do you hear me? You're gonna be sick.
George yanks him up.
Lenny!
That's good, George. You drink some, too. You take a good big drink.
George ripples the surface with his hand.
I ain't sure it's good water. Looks kind of scummy.
Standing, Lenny picks up his satchel, sets it next to George, then sits on it.
It tastes all right.
George cups his hands and drinks.
You don't seem to be running.
They splash water on their faces.
You never ought to drink water when it ain't running, Lenny. You'd drink out of a gutter if you was thirsty.
Retrieving something from his coat, Lenny turns his back to George.
What'd you take out of your pocket?
Oh, I ain't got a thing in my pocket, George.
I know you ain't. You got it in your hand. What do you got in your hand?
Oh, I ain't got nothing in my hand, George, honest.
Come on, give it here.
It's only a bird.
A bird? A live bird?
No, just a dead bird. I didn't kill it, though. I found it. I found it dead.
All right, give it here.
Oh, let me have it, George.
Give it here.
Oh.
Lenny places a small dead bird in George's hand.
Why?
George hurls it.
What do you want with a dead bird? Last week it was a mouse.
Oh, I was just petting it with my thumb while we walked along.
You ain't petting no bird while you're walking with me.
Oh, well, why ain't we going to the ranch to get some supper? They got supper at the ranch.
No reason at all. I just like it here. Oh. Lenny, tomorrow we'll be going to work. Busting our backs, lifting up them barley bags.
George lies back.
For tonight, I'm just gonna lay here and look up. Tonight, there ain't a grain bag or a boss in the world.
Well, ain't we gonna have no supper?
Sure we are. If you gather up some dead willow sticks. Lenny, I got 3 cans of beans here in my bindle.
Lenny grins.
Now, you get that fire ready, and I'll give you a match when you get the sticks together. We'll heat up these beans and have supper.
I like beans with ketchup.
We ain't got no ketchup. Now go on, get them sticks. Huh? Don't you fool around none, neither. It's gonna be dark soon.
George unties his satchel. Nighttime, something drops from a tree into the water. George and Lenny sit on either side of a campfire.
I guess they're about done. Ready?
George tosses 2 hot cans from the stove to Lenny, who sets them on the ground.
You got enough beans there for 4 men.
I like them with ketchup.
I told you we ain't got none. Whatever we ain't got, that's what you want.
Using a knife, George cuts open a can.
If I was alone, I could live so easy. At the end of the month, I could take my $50 and go into town and get whatever I want.
He throws down the knife.
And a gallon of whiskey, sit in a pool room, play cards, or shoot pool. And what do I got? I got you. You just keep me shoving all over the country all the time. And that ain't the worst. You do bad things. You get in trouble all the time, and I have to get you out.
George eats beans.
Like what you done up in Weed. They'd have lynched you if they'd have caught you. Just wanted to touch that girl's dress, because it looks so nice and soft. Just wanted to pet it like it was a bird or a rabbit. Then what'd you hold on for when she started yelling her head off? Why didn't you let go?
Oh, I wasn't gonna hurt her.
I wish I could put you in a cage with about 1 million rabbits and leave you there and let them pet you.
Lenny leans close.
You want I should go away and leave you alone?
Where could you go?
Oh, I could go right up in them hills and someplace find a cave.
All right, how'd you eat? You ain't got sense enough to find nothing to eat.
Oh, I'd find things. I don't need no nice food with ketchup on it. I could lay out in the sun. Would nobody hurt me?
I've been mean, ain't I? Ain't I?
Well,
If you don't want me, you only just gotta say so. Oh, I can go right up in them hills and live by myself. And I won't get no bird stole from me.
Somebody'd shoot you for a coyote if you was by yourself. Better stay with me.
Lenny smiles and nods. He throws down the knife, then picks up the spoon and eats. He stops chewing, then crawls on his knees toward George.
George?
What?
Tell me, like you done before.
Tell you what?
About the rabbits.
Well, now you ain't putting nothing over on me.
No, George, please. Tell me like you done before.
You get a kick out of that, don't you?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'll tell you. Go ahead and eat your bean.
George tosses his empty can. Sitting against a tree trunk, he wipes his spoon with his bandana.
Go on, George.
Well, guys like us that work on ranches is the loneliest guys in the world. They come to a ranch, they work up a stake. They go into town, they blow in that stake, and then the first thing you know, they're pounding their tail on another ranch, because they got nothing to look ahead to.
That's right. But not us. Now tell how it is with us.
Well, with us, it ain't like that. We got a future. We got somebody to talk to that gives a hoot about us. We don't have to sit in no bar room blowing away our jack because we got no place else to go. Because if them other guys gets in jail, they can rot for all anybody cares.
But not us. And why? Because I got you to look after me, and you got me to look after you, and that's why. Go on, George.
Why don't you do it yourself? You know it all by heart.
Oh, please. I forget some of the stuff. Go on, George. Tell how it's gonna be.
Well...
George pulls off his boots.
Someday, we're gonna get the jack together, and we're gonna get a little house, and a couple of acres, and a cow, and chickens,
and
pigs.
And rabbits. Go on, George. Tell about the rabbits in the cages, and the rain in the winter, and the stove, and the cream on the milk so thick you can hardly cut it with a knife. Tell about that, George.
I don't know why you don't do it yourself. You know it all.
Oh, please. It ain't the same if I tell it. Go on, George. Tell about the rabbits and how I get to tend them.
Well, we're gonna have a...
George lights a cigarette.
Big vegetable patch. And some chickens and a rabbit hutch.
And we can live on the fat of the land.
We can live on the fat of the land. And in the winter, when it rains, we're gonna say...
He flicks the butt.
Skip the work. We're gonna light a big fire in the stove. And we're gonna sit around and listen to the rain coming down on the roof. I ain't got time for no more. Let's hit the hay.
Nodding, Lenny stands, then picks up his can of beans.
Look, Lenny, what are you going to say tomorrow when the boss asks you questions?
Oh.
Huh?
I ain't going to say a word.
Good boy. Say, that's fine. Look, Lenny, I want for you to look around here. Do you think that you can remember this place?
Sure, George. Oh, I can remember here. Didn't I remember about not saying a word?
Yeah, of course you did. Now, look, Lenny, if you just happen to get in trouble, like you always done before, I want for you to come back here and hide in the brush.
Hide in the brush?
Hide in the brush until I come for you. Now, can you remember that?
Sure, George, I can remember. I'll hide in the brush till you come.
Till I come, but... You ain't gonna get in no trouble. Because if you do, I ain't gonna let you tend them rabbits.
Oh, I ain't gonna get in no trouble, George. I ain't gonna say a word.
You got it. At least I hope so. All right, let's hit the hay.
Lenny licks his spoon, then hands it to George.
All right.
Lenny tosses the can.
Boy, it's gonna be nice sleeping here. Looking up.
And the leaves.
They lie on their backs in their bedrolls.
Boy, you sure feel free when you ain't got a job. If you ain't hungry.
Let's have different color rabbits, George.
Sure we will. Red and blue and pink ones, Len. Millions of them.
Furry ones, like I seen at the fair in Sacramento.
Furry ones.
Of course, I can just as well go up in them hills and find a cave. If you don't want me.
Oh, shut up. George.
What?
I'm shutting up, George.
Lenny rolls onto his side. A gray-haired mustache man throws a bullwhip onto a desk, then sits. Tapping his fingers, he peers through a window as George and Lenny follow another man through the yard. As the mustache man starts to write candy, a scruffy man with an amputated left hand opens the door, then knocks on it.
Come in!
Them new guys just come, boss.
Bring him in.
Candy swings open the door. Lenny and George step into the room. George removes his hat. Candy steps between George and Lenny, then gestures to them. As they step toward the desk, George taps Lenny's arm and glances upward. Lenny peers at the ceiling, then removes his hat. The gray-haired man swivels his chair and peers up at Lenny.
Got your work slips?
Yeah.
George pulls paperwork from his shirt pocket, then hands it to the man, who examines it.
Well, I see it isn't Johnson and Beatty's fault. It says right here in your work slips. You should have been here last night, ready to go to work this morning.
Bus driver give us a bum steer. We had to walk 10 miles.
I had to send the grain wagons out, shy two buckers. What's your name?
My name's George Milton.
The gray-haired man writes.
George?
Milton.
Milton. Yours?
Islin. His name's Lenny Small.
Lenny Small. Let me see. This is Friday the 20th. It's about 1:35. Half an hour yet before you get to work, and make it 2 o'clock.
Glancing at George, Candy closes his eyes and nods slightly.
Where you boys been working?
Up around weed.
You too?
Yeah, him too.
He ain't much of a talker, is he?
No, he's a good worker, though. He's strong as a bull.
I'm strong as a bull.
The gray-haired man slowly swivels around and peers at Lenny.
What can you do?
You can do anything.
Listen, Small, what can you do?
Anything you like. He's a good skinner. He can wrestle grain bags, drive a cultivator, anything you like. Just give him a try.
Then why don't you let him answer? What are you trying to put over?
I don't say he's bright. He ain't. But I say he's a good worker. He can put up a 400-pound bale.
Say, what are you selling?
What?
What stake you got in this guy? You taking his pay away from him?
Of course I ain't.
I never see one guy go to so much trouble for another guy. I'd just like to know what your percentage is.
He's my cousin. I told his old lady I'd take care of him. He got kicked in the head by a horse when he was a kid. He just ain't bright. But he'll do anything you tell him.
All right. I guess it don't take much brains to buck barley bags. But don't try to put anything over, Milton. I've got my eye on you. Why did you quit in weed?
My job was done.
What kind of job?
Digging a cesspool.
All right. But don't try to put anything over. I've seen wise guys before. Show these guys the bunkhouse and then take them out to Slim.
Yes, sir.
Candy opens the door for George and Lenny.
Candy!
Yes, sir.
Don't forget to tell him what a nice guy the boss is.
I wasn't going to say nothing, boss.
Candy leaves. Outside, a thin man wearing a tall black hat carries a saddle.
Hi, Crooks. What you got there?
Boss, bust his sick.
Them two guys is the new stiffs.
I know. Didn't the boss raise enough cane with me when he did the show up this morning?
He sure did.
Crooks walks off.
The boss always takes it out on Crooks when he gets mad.
Yeah?
Got that crooked back when a horse kicked him.
Oh.
He reads a lot. Got books in his room.
Yeah?
All right, what kind of a guy is the boss? Come on, come on. What's he like?
Well, he's a pretty nice fella for a boss.
Yeah?
He gets mad sometimes, but he's pretty nice. You know what he done Christmas?
What?
Brung a gallon of whiskey right in the bunkhouse, and he says, drink hearty, boys. Christmas comes but once a year.
Whole gallon, huh?
Oh, my golly, we had fun.
Candy gestures with his stump, then covers it self-consciously.
What were you saying?
They let Crooks come in that night.
Yeah?
Well, sir, a little sinner named Smitty takes after the black boy. The guys wouldn't let him use his feet, so Crooks got him. Oh. The guy says, on account of the black man got a crooked back, Smitty can't use his feet.
I see.
After that, the guys went into town and they tore to pieces. I didn't go in there. I ain't got the steam no more.
A dog crawls out from beneath a wooden bunk, then steps across the bunkhouse. Candy, George, and Lenny step into the spare structure. Candy pets the dog.
That's a pretty old dog.
Had him ever since he was a pup. He was a good sheepdog when he was young. Over here.
George and Lenny follow Candy.
You can have them two beds there.
Lenny sits on a lower bunk. George taps the bottom of the bunk above it.
All right, I'll take the top one. I don't want you falling down on me.
George slings his satchel onto the top bunk, then peers at a shelf.
What's this?
He grabs a small white container. White powder shoots from it.
What's this?
Candy's head jerks back as George squeezes the container.
I don't know.
No? It says positively kills fleas, lice, and other scourges. Now, what kind of bed you give us?
No, I'll tell you what. Last guy had that bunk was a blacksmith, as clean a fella as you want to meet. He used to wash his hands even after he ate.
And how come he got pillow pigeons?
Well, he's kind of fella put that stuff around even if there wasn't no bugs. Yeah, he'd peel his boiled potatoes. He'd pick out every little speck before he ate it. And if there was a red blotch on an egg, he'd scrape it off. And then he finally quit.
I bet he did.
Oh, about the food. That's the kind of guy Whitey was. Clean.
If I find a single pillow pigeon in this bed, you're gonna hear from me.
Okay, now, you two fellas get set, and I'll come back in a minute and take you to Slim.
George and Lenny check beneath their mattresses. Outside, a man rides a horse up to Candy, George and Lenny.
See my old man, Candy? Just left him up at your house a little while ago. I'll try to catch him.
Smiling, Lenny raises and lowers his hands as though riding a horse. The man stares at him. With a worried look, Lenny gazes downward. The man, wearing a cowboy hat and dressed in black, slides off his horse and approaches Lenny.
You the new guys my old man was looking for?
Yeah, we just come.
Let the big guy talk.
Suppose he don't want to talk.
He's got to talk when he spoke to.
The man, Curly, turns to George.
What are you shoving into this for?
Well, him and me travel together.
And you won't let the big guy talk, is that it?
Listen, he'll talk if he wants to tell you anything.
We just come in.
George nods to Lenny.
Well, next time, answer when you're spoke to.
Now, what are you picking on him for? He ain't done nothing to you.
Are you drawing cards this hand?
I might.
Well, I'll see you get a chance to Andy.
Curly and George exchange stares. Curly climbs onto his horse, then rides off.
What's he got on his shoulder? Lenny didn't say nothing to him.
Well, I tell you what. Curly's like a lot of little guys. He hates big guys. It's kind of like he's mad at him because he ain't a big guy. You've seen lots of little guys, ain't you? Always scrappy.
Curly sounds like a skunk to me. I hate mean little guys.
It seems to me like Curly's worse lately. Got married a couple months ago. His wife lives over there in the boss's house. Seems to me like Curly's worse since he got married. Like he's sitting on an anthill.
Well, maybe he's showing off for his wife.
You just wait till you see Curly's wife.
A woman with curly hair lifts and lowers a white puppy with her feet as she lies in hay. She holds the puppy to her chest as Curly rides up.
The two new buckers showed up, Curly.
Curly dismounts. His wife watches through the barn door.
I seen them, Dad. Don't like their looks much.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against them. We wouldn't have a man in the place if I waited for you to like somebody's looks.
And if I didn't watch him like a hawk every minute, we wouldn't have a place. Seen May?
Oh, let her alone for a minute. Why do you keep pestering her? She ain't doing no harm.
How do I know that?
You know, maybe if May had some women to talk to.
It ain't women I'm worried about.
Oh, stick to your job and forget your wife for an hour.
As Curly's horse nudges him in the back, his wife May, still holding the puppy, stands. At the other end of the barn, Whit, a dark-haired man wearing a brimmed straw hat, steps in and peers at May, who walks outside as Curly mounts his horse.
You sure trust me, don't you, Curly?
As far as I can spit. Who's in there with you?
There ain't nobody in there.
Curly hops off his horse, steps inside the barn, then stops when he sees Whit. As Whit turns to hang up a horse collar, Curly runs around the outside of the barn. May steps to the doorway, then peers into the barn where Whit and Curly approach each other from opposite directions. Curly grabs Whit's arm, then punches him twice. May rushes in, kneels next to Whit, then examines his face.
You punch-drunk pug! I ain't even seen the boy! He must have just come in!
Curly pulls Whit to his feet.
Get out of here.
Curly shoves Whit.
Next time, they'll carry out. This'll happen to any guy I catch with you.
What did I ever do that gives you the right to treat me like I was...
Nothing. But I ain't taking no chances. You got a home. You got a husband. You got no business messing around.
Sure I got a home. You think all I want to do is sit in that 2x4 just waiting for you? I want to see somebody. Just see him and talk to him. I tell you, I just want to talk to somebody.
You got me to talk to you.
Yeah. I lead with my left twice, see? Then I bring in the old right cross. One, two. One, two, and he's down. One, two, I can hear it even in my sleep.
May picks up the puppy. As she turns to go, Curly grabs her arm.
Where'd you get that pup?
He was given to me.
Slim gave him to you, didn't he?
What if he did?
No guy's giving my wife presents. You're giving that pup back.
Oh, yeah?
If you're not giving it back, Slim's gonna take it back.
No, he won't. Slim ain't afraid of you.
We'll see whether he is or not. Wait till he tastes the old one, too.
Curly hurries out.
One, two! One, two!
As May peers through an opening, Curly rides past. Baled hay stands in rows in a large field where a machine shoots hay through a long barrel into the air. Curly rides up and calls to a man overseeing the operation from atop a wagon.
Hey, Slim! Come on down here.
Dark-haired Slim climbs down from the wagon and approaches Curly. Standing a short distance away, Candy, George, and Lenny watch the two men.
I know you're the best skinner my old man's got in the place. And I know he won't let me can you. But he can't stop me from tangling with you if you don't lay off my wife.
What is it this time, Mr. Jackson?
You gave her one of your pups.
And?
I don't want no ranch hand giving my wife presents.
And?
She won't give it up, so you gotta take it back.
Curly ain't never gonna tangle with Slim. Not with Slim, he ain't.
After work, Slim. I'll give it to you on your own time.
Chewing on a blade of grass, Slim waves his hand to the crew, then walks away. Hiding amid the machinery, May watches Curly climb back onto his horse.
Hey, Slim! I'm riding over to the barn. I'm gonna make sure you've got no more pups to give away.
Slim cracks a bullwhip, causing Curly's horse to rear up and jump around. Regaining control of his horse, Curly eyes the farmhands. Whipping his horse with the reins, Curly gallops between George and Lenny as he rides away.
Holy smoke, that guy tried to kill us. He was aiming at Lenny. Like I told you, he hates big guy. Well, come on, you fellas.
Candy leads George and Lenny to Slim's wagon. Still holding the puppy, May hides amid the machinery until they pass.
Slim, fellas. What Slim says goes around here.
Ah, lay off, Candy. Candy's right. The boss tells you what to do, but if you want to know how to do it, you got to ask the mule skinner. My name's George Milton. This is my partner here, Lenny Small.
You fellas travel around together?
Yeah, we kind of look out after each other.
There ain't many fellas travel around together.
Go on, George. Ask him.
What's eating him?
He heard Curly talk about your pup. See, now he wants one of them.
A brown and a white one.
Okay, big boy. When we get back to barn, I'll give you one. A brown and white one. You guys ever bucked any barley?
I'll say. I'm nothing to scream about, but this big guy... Watch this, mister.
Slim kneels atop a long flatbed wagon partially loaded with barley sacks. George positions Lenny under the back of the wagon.
You all right?
Lenny nods.
All right, Lenny. Let it go!
Lenny straightens and lifts the wagon on his back.
Hey, Slim! Slim, get this!
George hangs from one of the wagon wheels.
Get out from under that wheel!
He won't drop it until I tell him. Unless the supper bell rings.
George drops and rolls clear.
There you are. All right, Lenny, let it down. Easy now. Easy, boy. Okay. Yeah?
You sure was right about him. I never seen such a strong guy.
Give us the word, Slim. We'll show you.
Hey, Slim!
Okay, boys, let her buck.
May crawls out from under the machinery.
There's Curly's wife now. You know what I think? I think Curly's married herself a pack of trouble.
There's plenty done that.
Well, you look her over, mister. You see if I ain't right.
Lenny grins from ear to ear as May walks up to him.
You're the new fellas that just come, ain't you?
Yeah.
George elbows Lenny. Working together, they lift a barley sack. May steps into their path and stares at them, but they keep their eyes averted. May walks off with their dog. George and Lenny return to their work. The men watch as May steps across a road between oncoming wagons. She sways her hips as she sashays across a distant field.
He says about her is right. Curly has got a pack of trouble.
Gosh, she's pretty.
Now, you listen to me. Don't you even look at her.
Oh, I never done nothing, George.
No, you never. But when she was standing here, you wasn't looking the other way, neither.
Oh, I never meant no harm, George. Honest, I never. She was so pretty, and she had a pup.
Well, you keep away from her. If she is poison, let Curly take the rap. He let himself in for it.
Oh, I don't like this place. This ain't no nice place. I don't like this place.
Listen, I don't like it no better than you. But we gotta keep her until we get a stake.
Come on, George, let's go. Let's get out of here. It's mean here.
Shut up and get to work. Here comes that skunk again.
Lenny moves several sacks as Curly rides up on his horse.
You seen a girl around here?
George calls to Lenny as he approaches Curly.
Get back to work. Couple of minutes ago, maybe.
What was she doing?
I didn't ask her.
Which way'd she go?
I don't know. I didn't watch her go.
Slim chuckles as he watches Curly ride off.
You know, Lenny, I'm scared I'm gonna tangle with that palooka myself. I hate the sight of him.
You ain't mad, George.
I ain't mad at you. I'm mad at this Curly. You keep away from him.
Sure I will. I won't say a word.
That's it. Don't let him pull you in. But if he takes a sock at you, let him have it.
Let him have what, George?
Never mind. Look, if you get in any kind of trouble, do you remember what I told you?
If I get in any trouble, you ain't gonna let me tend the rabbits.
No. Now, that ain't what I mean. You remember where we slept last night?
Frowning, Lenny gazes downward.
Down by the river?
Oh, sure, I remember that. I go there and hide in the brush till you come.
That's it. Hide till I come for you. Now, say that over.
Hide in the brush by the river. down in the brush by the river. If I get in trouble. Hide in the brush by the river. Down in the brush by the river. Hide in the brush by the river.
Standing on the front porch of the ranch house, a cook rings a dinner bell. Wagon teams make their way in from the fields. In a barn, Candy smiles as he arranges four puppies around a bowl of milk. He gets up as Slim leads a team of horses inside.
I'll take them, Slim. I just give Lulu's pups some milk, Slim. She's feeling fine.
Thanks, Candy. Curly ain't been messing around with pups, has he?
I ain't seen him, Slim.
Hiya, Slim. How'd it go today?
Pretty good. Two good men now.
That's so? Well, I'm glad to know you. My name's Carlson.
My name's George Milton. This is my partner, Lenny Small.
He ain't very small. No, he ain't small at all.
There you go, Lenny. A brown and white one.
Slim gives a puppy to Lenny. George smiles as Lenny nuzzles the pup. Carlson stares at Candy's dog, then shakes his head.
How many pups you got left, Slim?
Well, I gave this one to Curly's wife. Got two left.
Gonna keep them both?
I don't know. Gotta keep them a while to drink up Lula's milk.
You know, Slim, that old dog of Candy's, he's so old he can hardly walk. Every time Candy brings him in the bunkhouse, I can smell him for two or three days. Why don't you get Candy to shoot the old dog and give him one of them pups to raise up?
Come on, let's wash up. There'll be nothing left to eat in a few minutes.
George follows Slim out of the barn.
Gonna put you on the spot, huh?
Yep.
Lenny, put that pup back a while. Come and wash up.
Oh, I'm coming, George.
Sure nice of you to give Lenny that pup.
Ah, that wasn't nothing. You don't have to thank me for that.
Well, it wasn't much to you. Maybe it was a lot to him. I don't know how we're going to get him to sleep in the bunkhouse tonight. He'll want to stay right out here in the barn. We're going to have trouble keeping him from getting right in that box with them pups. What do we do, catch a shower?
You can catch a shower any time. They only dish up that grub once.
Lenny!
You sure were right about him. I never seen such a worker. I thought he was going to kill you bucking that volley.
You just tell Lenny what to do and he'll do it if it don't take no figuring.
Funny you and him stringing along together.
What's so funny about it?
I don't know. Just seems kind of funny. Cuckoo like him and a smart guy like you.
He ain't no cuckoo. He's dumb, but he ain't crazy. And I ain't so smart neither. I wouldn't be bucking barley for my 50th farm.
They scrub their hands and faces.
If I was bright, if I was even a little bit smart, I'd be having a place of my own, be bringing in my own crops. Instead of doing all the work and not getting what comes up out of the ground.
Yeah, a guy'd like to do that. I sometimes like to cuss out a string of mules. It was my own mules.
Sure. It ain't so funny about me and Lenny traveling together. We growed up together. At first, I made fun of Lenny.
They dry themselves with towels.
I used to play jokes on him because he was too dumb to take care of himself. He was too dumb to even know when jokes was being played on him. Yeah, I had fun. You know, it made me seem smart alongside of him.
Yeah, I've seen it that way.
I tell you what made me stop playing jokes. There was a bunch of us standing alongside the Sacramento River. I was feeling kind of show-off, see? So I turns to Lenny and I says, jump in.
What happened?
He jumps. He couldn't swim a stroke, so he nearly drowned. And he was so nice to me because I pulled him out. See, he clean forgot I told him to jump in. I never done anything like that since. Well, it makes me feel kind of sick talking about it. Lenny!
I'll go wash up pretty soon, George.
You go now. I'll tell Slim here not to let you have that pup.
Oh, I'm going.
Lenny sets down his puppy and dashes out of the barn.
Just like a kid, ain't he?
Yeah, there's no more harm in him than a kid, neither. Except he's so strong.
Later, all of the ranch hands eat together at a long dining table. George sits across from Slim at one end.
Well, he ain't got enough sense to take care of himself.
That's all right. Nice fella. Guy don't need no sense to be a nice fella.
Now, Lenny is a nuisance most of the time. But you get used to going around with a guy and you can't get rid of him.
You want to get rid of him?
Well, he gets in trouble all the time. Like he done at Weed. You wouldn't tell nobody, would you?
What'd he do in Weed?
You wouldn't tell nobody, would you? No, of course you wouldn't.
What'd he do in Weed?
Well, there was this girl come along in a red dress.
Lenny enters the dining room.
Here he comes. I'll tell you later.
I've done just like you told me, George.
All right, that's fine. Come on and eat your supper.
He's brown and white, just like I wanted.
At the other end of the table, gray-haired Jackson and his son Curly take large slices of an apple pie. May picks off a piece of crust with her fingers and chews it sullenly. She glances up at Jackson sitting at the head of the table, who breaks up his slice of pie with a spoon before pouring milk over it. Jackson passes the pitcher to Curly, who pours milk over his own slice. Curly passes the milk to May. Frowning, she accepts it, then sets it down in front of herself. Holding a coffee mug, May sneers as she watches Jackson and his son slurp down their milk and pie. Setting down her mug, May lowers her head and rubs her temples. Looking furtively across the table, May pulls a Palace Theater playbill out of the front of her dress. She flicks the playbill with one finger. Curly glowers across the table at her. Smiling, May passes the playbill to him. Curly glances at it, tosses it onto the table, then puts a cigarette between his lips and steps away. May's smile fades as she watches Curly put on his hat and admire himself in a hallway mirror.
Ain't you gonna take me to the movies? Like you promised?
I seen it the other night with some of the boys.
Curly strides out of the house. Jackson wipes his chin with one hand before moving to a nearby writing desk and turning on a lamp. Frowning, May slumps across the table and rests her head on one hand. She taps her water glass with a spoon. Jackson turns and glares at her. She glances at him, then throws down her spoon. He turns back to his work. May lays her head on the table and stares dejectedly at her tableware. As the cook begins to stack her dirty dishes, May stands and wanders off. Later that night, the men congregate in the yard. Some of them toss horseshoes. Lenny grins to himself as he slips away. Clutching his stomach, Candy walks into the bunkhouse where Slim and George play cards.
Hello, Slim. Hello, George. Don't neither of you play any horseshoes?
I don't like to play every night.
Either you guys got a slug of whiskey or got a cramp?
I ain't. If I had, I'd drink it myself. I ain't got no cramp, neither.
Cabbage gave it to me. Know what it was going for ever, Ed?
Candy thumps his fist against his own sternum. Carlson steps into the doorway, sticks his hands into his pockets, and stares down at Candy's dog. Glaring at him, Candy pets the animal. Carlson shakes his head. Candy grabs his dog's collar and leads him away.
Slim, you ought to seen that stable boy pit shoes. He never give nobody a chance to win. Man alive, that dog smells. Candy, get him out of here. I don't know nothing smells as bad as old dogs does.
I've been around him so much, I never notice how he smells.
Well, I can't stand him in here. That smell hangs around even after he's gone.
Sitting on a bunk, Candy hugs the old mutt to his chest.
Candy, the old fella's all stiff with rheumatism. He ain't no good to you. Why don't you shoot him?
I tell you what, Mr. Carlson, I had him so long. I herded sheep with him. You wouldn't think it to look at him now, but he was the best darn sheepdog I ever seen.
I know the guy in Weed had an Airedale that could herd sheep. I learned it from the other dogs.
This old fella just suffers himself all the time. Now, if you was to take him out and shoot him, right in the back of the head, right there, why, he'd never know what hit him.
Candy attaches a leash to his dog's collar. The mutt lies down under Candy's bunk.
So you won't shoot him?
No, I couldn't do that. I had him too long.
But he don't have no fun no more. Besides, he smells bad. Tell you what I'll do. I'll shoot him for you, then it won't be you that done it.
Oh, let him alone, Carl. It ain't a guy's dog that matters. It's the way a guy feels about his dog. For me, I wouldn't trade my mutt here for one of them field trial pointers.
Candy ain't being nice to him, leaving him alive. Look at Slim's hounds got their litter now. I'll bet she'd give you one of them pups to raise up. Wouldn't you, Slim?
Knitting his brow, Slim stares at Candy.
Yeah, you can have a pup. Carl's right, Candy. That poor dog ain't no good to himself. I wish somebody'd shoot me if I get old and a cripple.
Maybe it'd hurt him. I don't mind taking care of him.
He'd be better off dead. The way I'd shoot him, he wouldn't feel nothing.
Say, hey, did you guys see this? Right here, read that.
I don't want to read nothing. It'll be over in a minute, Candy. Come on.
Did you see it, Slim?
What is it?
Read that. Read it out loud.
Dear editor?
Yeah.
Slim reads from a newspaper.
I've been reading your mag for the past 6 months. I think it's the best on the market. I like stories by Peter Rand. I think he is a wingding. What do you want me to read that for?
Oh, read the name at the bottom.
Yours for success, William Tenner. What do you want me to read that for?
You don't remember Bill Tenner worked here about 3 months ago?
Oh, sure. Carl, you remember him, a little guy drove a color
van. Yeah, that's him. That's the guy.
Well, what do you know about that? Got his name in the paper.
Yeah, to work here?
Yeah.
Look, Candy, if you want me to, I'll put the old fellow out of his misery right now. There ain't nothing left for him. Can't eat, can't see, can't hardly walk.
You ain't got no gun.
Yes, I have. I got a Luger right here in my bag. The way I'll shoot him, he won't feel nothing.
Maybe tomorrow. Let's wait till tomorrow.
I don't see no sense in waiting. You know, I ain't got no hankering for this. I'm a-doing it for you.
Taking out a pistol, Carlson unties the dog's leash, then turns to Candy.
What do you say, Candy?
Frowning, Candy stares at Slim, who lowers his eyes as he shuffles the cards.
Candy, you better let him go.
Tears shining in his eyes, Candy's mouth falls open.
All right.
Knitting his brow, Candy slumps over a table and turns his face away. Leading the dog by its leash, Carlson walks to the door. The dog stops in the doorway and peers up at Candy. He buries his face in his arms as Carlson leads the dog outside. George shuts the bunkhouse door. The other men watch Candy as he slowly stands, paces across the room, then lies on his bunk. Playing a game of solitaire, Slim throws down a card, then glances at George, who holds the door ajar and stares outside. Without glancing at the table, Slim tosses down another card. Standing, he takes a lantern down from a shelf and fiddles with it.
One of my lead mules got a bad hoof. Gotta get some tar on it.
George shuts the door and leans against it.
I bet Lenny's out there in the barn with his pup. Yeah, I bet he won't never come back in here now that he's got a pup.
George smiles briefly at the others. Slim returns the lantern to its shelf, then sits. George joins him at the card table.
Anybody like to play a little rummy?
Wit sits.
I'll lay out a few with you.
Wit glances over his shoulder at Candy, who lies on his back and stares upward.
Him so long. Lay out some cards, why don't you? We ain't gonna get no rummy played this way.
George shuffles the cards as Slim rolls a cigarette. George watches Candy as he deals. Candy jerks suddenly. George rapidly deals out the rest of the cards. Shutting his eyes, Candy rolls onto his side and faces a wall. Inside the house, May stands at the foot of the stairs. She glances at Jackson, who works at his desk, then wanders to a nearby radio.
I'm waking!
May turns off the radio. Jackson sneers at her, then returns to his work. May leans on an elbow on the radio and studies herself in a wall mirror. Smiling, May leaves the house. A moment later, she steps into the barn where Crooks helps Slim with his mule.
Mr. Slim, I think I better get that other brush.
Slim looks up at May as Crook limps out of the barn.
Hey, Lenny. You better quit petting that pup for tonight. It ain't good for him. Put him back with his mother and run over to the bunkhouse.
I'll do whatever you say that's good for the pup, you bet. I'm going right now.
Setting down his puppy, Lenny grabs his hat and leaves.
Thanks, Slim, for sending the big guy out. I gotta talk to you.
You got nothing to say to me.
Please, Slim. I gotta talk to somebody or I'll go crazy. Please let me. I ain't meant to live like this. I'd leave this place on me. I got no money. My mother won't take me back. I only married Curly because I want to get away from her. Maybe I oughtn't to say this. But I don't like Curly.
No, you oughtn't. You oughtn't to be here. You oughtn't to talk to me or any guy on the ranch. Go on back to the house where you belong. I don't want to listen to your troubles. You got no troubles except what you bring on yourself. Come on, baby.
Slim leads the mule into its stall. George and Witt shine their shoes in the bunkhouse as Curly steps in.
Any of you guys seen my wife?
She ain't been here.
Where's Slim?
He went out to the barn. Said he had to put some tar on a split hook.
How long ago did he go?
Oh, 5, 10 minutes, I don't know.
Curly bolts outside.
I think I might like to see this.
Let's all take a look.
Several of the ranch hands follow him out.
Curly must be spoiling, or he wouldn't start for Slim.
Curly thinks Slim's with his wife, don't he?
Yeah, it looks like it. Of course Slim ain't.
Huh?
At least I don't think Slim is. Hey, come on.
Did you see Slim out there in the barn?
Yeah. He told me not to pep that pup no more tonight.
Did that girl come in there?
You mean Curly's girl?
Yes, Curly's girl. Did she come into the barn?
Yeah, I seen her.
George dashes to the door. Outside, May keeps her head down as she crosses the yard.
Okay. I guess them guys ain't gonna see no fight. Lenny, if there is any fighting, are you gonna get out of the way and stay out?
Oh, I ain't gonna say.
Lenny?
Say.
Lenny picks up a playing card.
Both ends the same. Why is both ends the same, George?
Because they just build them that way.
George?
Well,
How long is it gonna be before we get that little place and live on the fat of the land?
I don't know. Gotta get a big stake together first. I know a little place we can get cheap, but they ain't giving it away.
George resumes polishing his shoes.
Tell about that place, George.
Now, Lenny, I just told you just last night.
Oh, please. Tell again.
All right. Well, we'd have a couple of acres. And there'd be a little windmill, a little shack on it, and a chicken run. It's got a kitchen orchard and cherries, apples, peaches, cots, nuts. Got a few berries. There's a place for alfalfa and plenty of water to flood it. There's a pig pen.
And rabbits.
I could easy build a few hutches, and you could feed alfalfa to them rabbits. Now there.
They'd nibble and they'd nibble, like I seen them do.
And you know that we wouldn't have to sleep in no bunkhouse no more? And nobody could fire us in the middle of a job.
Tell about the house, George.
Yeah, all right, we'd have a little house and a room to ourselves. And when we put that crop in, we'd be there to take that crop up.
And what else? Go on, George, you know something else.
All right, now wait a minute. Yeah, I know. You know what, we could have a few pigeons to fly around the windmill, like they done when I was a kid. And it would be our own, and there couldn't nobody can us. And if we didn't like a guy, we can say, git. And he'd have to do it. But if a friend come, we'd have an extra bunk. And you know what we'd say, huh? We'd say, hey, why don't you spend the night? And by golly, he would. And we'd have a set of dogs and a couple of striped cats. But you'd have to watch out them cats didn't get after your little rabbits.
Oh. You just let them try. Well, I'll break their necks. Well, I'll smash them cats flat with a stick. That's what I'll do.
Lenny beats the table with a shoe.
You know where's a place like that?
What?
You know where's a place like that?
Suppose I do. What's that to you?
You don't have to tell me where it's at. It might be any place.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, he couldn't find that in a thousand years.
How much they want for a place like that?
Get it for $600. It's the old people that own it, a flat bust. The old lady needs medicine. Say, what's that to you? You got nothing to do with us.
I know I ain't much good with only one hand. I lost my hand right here on the ranch. They give me a job swamping. And they give me $250 because I lost my hand. And I got 50 more saved up. That's 300, and I got 40 more coming into the month. Tell you what, suppose I went in with you guys. That'd be $340 I'd put in. How'd that be?
Oh,
I gotta think about that. We was always gonna do it by ourselves, me and Lenny.
George hops into his bunk.
I never thought about nobody else.
I'd make a will. Leave my share to you guys in case I kicked off. Maybe we could go there right now. You guys got any money?
Sure. We got $10 between us. Now look, if me and Lenny worked for a month and we didn't spend nothing at all, we'd have $100. That'd make $440. I think we could swing around that. And maybe you and Lenny could go and get us started, and I'd get a job and make up the rest. I think we could swing her. I think we could swing her.
I got hurt 4 years ago. They'll can me pretty soon. Just as soon as I can't swamp out no bunkhouses, you'll put me on the county. Maybe if I give you guys my money, you'll let me hoe in the garden even after I ain't no good at it. And I could wash dishes and do chicken stuff like that, but it'd be on our own place, and I'd be let to work on our own place. You seen what they done to my dog tonight? He says he's no good to himself and nobody else. When they can me, I wish somebody'd shoot me. But they won't do nothing like that. I won't have no place to go. I can't get no more jobs.
George looks down thoughtfully. Facing Candy, Lenny sits on the lower bunk beneath him.
Or a ball game or anything like that, but we'll go to it. We wouldn't ask anybody if we could. We'd just say, we'll go to it, and we would. Yeah, we'd milk the cow, and we'd take the grain and sling it to the chickens, and we'd go to it.
And put some grass to the rabbits. I wouldn't forget to do that. When are we gonna do it, George?
1 month. Right smack in 1 month. And you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna write those old people that own the place that we'll take her. Maybe Candy'll give us $100 to bind her.
I sure will. I sure will. I got it right here. They got a good stove there.
Oh, yes, it's a nice stove, isn't it? It burns both coal and wood.
You can have the whole 300 right now.
I'm gonna take my pup. Bet by gosh he likes it there.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, don't tell anybody about this. Just us three and nobody else. Now, you got that? Because they're liable to can us, and we won't get no steak. See, we'll just go on as though we're gonna buck Wally for the rest of our lives. And then one day, all of a sudden, bang! We'll grab our pay and we'll scram, honey.
And there's $300 right there.
We won't tell nobody, George.
Oh, bet we won't.
We won't tell nobody.
45.
George.
Yeah?
I shouldn't ought to let no stranger shoot my dog. I ought to shot my dog myself, George.
All right, now you know.
Slim returns with Curly.
Well, I just asked you. You don't have to get sore about it.
I ain't sore about it. I don't want any more questions, that's all.
George hides the money Candy gave him.
I just don't want any more questions.
Well, I didn't mean nothing, Slim. I just asked you.
Well, you've been asking too much. And I'm getting sick of it. You can't look after your own wife. What do you expect me to do about it? You lay off of me.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you I didn't mean nothing. I just thought you might have saw her.
Why don't you tell her to stay home where she belongs? You let her hang around the bunkhouse, first thing you know, you'll have something on your hands.
You stay out of this, unless you want to step outside.
Why, you palooka, you're as yellow as the bottom side of a frog. If you ever come at me, I'll kick your head off.
He tried to throw a scare into Slim, too, and he couldn't make it stick. We seen him.
Yeah, I seen him.
Curly shoves a table aside and confronts Lenny.
What do you think you're laughing at? Get up on your feet. No big lug's gonna laugh at me. I'll show you who's yellow.
He punches Lenny repeatedly in the face.
Put up your hands, Lenny. Fight him back.
Bloody, Lenny staggers backward.
George! George! Fight him, Lenny!
Get him, Lenny! I say get him! Don't let him do that to you, Lenny! Get him, get him!
Lenny takes several more punches, then grabs Curly's fist and squeezes it.
Let him go! Lenny!
Curly faints.
Let go, Lenny! Let go! Let go of his hand!
Lenny releases his grip. Curly drops limply onto the floor. Slim dashes up and lifts Curly's head.
Get some water, Whip.
You told me to, George. I heard you tell me to.
Got a knife?
Slim cuts the glove off Curly's bloody hand and wraps it in a clean towel.
Looks to me as if every bone in his hand is bust. Carlson, get out the buckboard. We'll have to get him in town to see a doctor.
Right.
I didn't want to hurt him.
Shh, all right, Lenny. Wasn't your fault, Lenny. He sure had it coming to him.
Oh, Slim. George and Lenny going to get canned now? Curly's old man going to can him now?
I don't know.
Curly stirs awake.
You got your senses enough to listen? And you listen. I think you got your hand caught in a machine. If you don't tell nobody what happened, we won't. But if you do tell and try to get this guy canned, we'll tell everybody. And then when you get to laugh.
I won't tell.
Carlson pulls up outside in a wagon.
Oh, no.
The ranch hands watch as Slim walks out with Curly and helps him into the wagon. In a bustling saloon, a woman plays a slot machine beside a piano player. Behind her, men and women crowd along a bar. Hands in his pants pocket, George strolls inside with Rick.
Hey, this is a swell joint.
Oh, what'd I tell you? You can get a shot here for only 15 cents, and no water in the whiskey.
Me. I am Whit!
Oh, it's
Louie. Whit gives a blonde woman a bear hug.
Get your coats on, girl. The sheriff.
Hey, George, take your hands with Susie. She's a card, always cracking jokes.
Sit down.
Come on, sit down. Take the weight off your feet.
Thanks.
You boys know Pop.
I'll pop you.
This one here is Marlene Dietrich.
Oh, now, Susie, you know I don't look so much like Dietrich.
You don't look nothing like her.
And that's Hetty Lamar.
And that's Betty Garza.
I want to be alone.
She wants to be alone.
Hey, what'd I tell you, George? Ain't she a lamb? She can keep it up all night.
What's that?
As George looks down, Susie tweaks his nose.
I'm posy for getting nosy.
What's so funny? Why don't you take a walk? Nobody's talking about you. Drink up, Pipeface.
Well, be sure you don't.
His right arm in a sling, Curly glares at George before walking on.
What's eating him?
Say, I bet he came down here special to see that nobody talked about what happened last night.
What did happen?
No, nothing. He won't be satisfied till he slugs somebody tonight. He didn't do so good the last time.
I ain't even gonna get a chance at me, because I ain't staying long.
Why? What's your hurry?
Lenny's on the ranch. I don't like to leave him alone very long.
Back at the ranch, Crooks sits on his bed. Lenny steps into the open doorway.
You got no right to come in my room. I ain't wanted in the bunkhouse, and you ain't wanted in my room.
Well, why ain't you wanted?
Because I'm black. They play cards in there, but I can't play because I'm black.
Everybody's gone to town. George says I gotta stay here and not get no trouble. I seen your light.
Don't see what you doing in the barn anyway.
My pup. I just come in to see my pup.
Come on in and sit a while. As long as you won't get out and let me alone. Might as well come and sit down.
Crooks turns on a bulb above a small wooden table. Lenny sits on a stool across from Crooks, who winces as he sits.
All the boys gone to town, huh?
Yeah, everybody but old Candy. He just sits in the bunkhouse sharpening his pencils. Sharpening and figuring and sharpening and figuring.
Figuring? What's Candy figuring about?
About the rabbits.
You bughouse. What rabbits you talking about?
about the rabbits we're gonna get. And I get to tend them.
That's baloney. I don't blame the guy you travel around with for keeping you out of sight.
You think it's a lie, but we're gonna do it. We're gonna get a little place and live on the fat of the land. You can ask George.
You've been traveling around that guy a long time, ain't you?
Sure.
Sometimes George talks to you and you don't know what he's talking about.
Lenny wrinkles his nose.
Ain't that so? Ain't that so?
Yeah. Sometimes.
George knows what he's about. Just tells you things that don't matter to him if you understand or not. It's just having someone to talk with. It's just being with another guy. That's why he travels around with you.
Sure. Him and me goes every place together.
Taking off his spectacles, Crooks stands and leans toward Lenny.
Suppose George didn't come back no more. Suppose he took a run-out powder and ain't coming back. What did you do then?
What?
Suppose George went to town tonight. You never heard of him no more. Just suppose that.
He won't do that. George won't go leave me. He'll come back.
Crooks smiles broadly.
Don't you think he will?
You want me to tell you what had happened? They'd take you to a booby hatch. They'll tie you up with a collar like a dog. Then you'd be just like me, living in a kennel.
Crook's eyes widen as Lenny moves toward him. Lenny grabs Crook's by his collar and shoves him down into his chair.
Who hurt George?
I'm just supposing George ain't hurt.
What you supposing for? Ain't nobody gonna suppose no hurt to George.
Of course they ain't. But maybe you can see now. You got George. You know he's coming back. Suppose you didn't have nobody. Suppose you couldn't go in the bunkhouse and play rummy because you're black. Suppose you had to sit out here and read books. Books ain't no good. A guy needs somebody to talk to him. I tell you, you get too lonely. He gets sick.
Relaxing, Lenny shakes his head.
Well, George won't go away and leave me. Oh, I know George won't do that.
Lenny. Lenny. Oh, look, Lenny, I've been figuring something out about the place.
Candy runs in, then stops when he spots Crooks. He moves back toward the door.
You can come on in if you want.
Oh, I don't know. Of course, if you want me to.
Well, come on in. Everybody's coming in. You might just as well. It'd be like a racetrack.
Nice, cozy little place you got here. Hmm. Must be nice to have a room all to yourself this way.
Sure. And a dung heap under my window. All to myself.
About the place. You said about the place.
I got it all figured out. We can make some real money on them rabbits if we go about it right.
Oh, but I get to tend them. George says I get to tend them.
You guys just kidding yourself. You'll be a swamp ahead till they take you out in a box. I seen hundreds of guys come by on the road, gnawing ranches, fiddles on the back and the same fool thing in the head. Everyone's got a little piece of land in his head, and never a one of them gets it.
Well, we are, too.
It's just like heaven. Nobody ever gets to heaven, and nobody gets no land.
Well, we're going to do it. George says we are. He's got the money right now.
He's got the money?
Yeah, well, he's got most of it. There's just a little bit more to get. And George has got land all picked out, too. Now, you take 12 rabbits.
I never seen a guy really do it. I seen guys most crazy with loneliness for land. But every time a dame or a blackjack game took it away from them.
Well, they ain't gonna get it this time.
Let's go to Chuck's Roadhouse. I got 20 bucks left.
Whatever I got there goes to me, too. Monday starts another month.
Smiling, George stands and reaches into his pocket.
12 rabbits. And in 6 months...
You guys would want a hand, too. work for nothing, just for his keep, I'd come and lend a hand. I ain't so crippled I can't work like the mister.
Well, all right, but we got to talk to George about that. Now, you take 12 rabbits.
12 rabbits?
Mm-hmm. Different color rabbits.
Sure, sure, sure. 12 rabbits. And in 6 months' time, I got it right here.
Outside the saloon, George seals an envelope, then drops it into a mailbox.
For a second there, George, I thought that little place you told me about was a goner. She's off. There ain't nothing gonna stop us now.
There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your daily walk. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your daily walk. There's a
meeting here. Crooks and Candy grow silent as George walks in and steps up to Lenny, who smokes a cigarette. George yanks it out of his mouth and throws it on the floor.
I told them they hadn't ought to be here, but they come in anyhow.
Couldn't go to bed like I told you, could you, Lenny? No. You have to get out in society and flap your big mouth.
Oh, I never done nothing bad, George, honest.
Look, George, I've been figuring and figuring. I even got it doped out how we can make some money on them rabbits.
I thought you wasn't going to tell nobody.
Well, I didn't tell nobody but Crooks.
What'd you tell him for?
Look, George, Crooks says if we let him come in with
get
us...
Get out of here, both of you.
But, George, Crooks says you'll work...
Maybe you better go. I ain't sure I want you in here no more.
Candy and Lenny move to the door as George approaches Crooks.
Now, listen, Crooks, tain't nothing against you. It's just that we said we wouldn't tell nobody else.
I know. Them guys coming in here something made me forget.
May walks into the bar and then turns into Crooks' room.
Suppose you're looking for Curly. Well, Curly ain't here.
I know Curly ain't here. It's Saturday night, ain't it? Got his arm in a sling and he went anyhow. I come to ask Crooks something.
You don't want to ask me nothing.
Saturday night. Everybody's out doing something. What am I doing? Standing here, talking to a bunch of bindle stiffs.
You ain't wanted here. We told you you ain't. You ain't got sense enough in that chicken head to see we ain't stiffs. You don't know that we got our own ranch to go to and our own house. We ain't got to stay here. We got a house, we got chickens, we got fruit trees, and we got a place that's 100 times better than this. And we got friends, too. That's what we got. We got friends.
You old goat. If you had two bits, you'd be in town getting a drink and sucking the bottom of the glass. I know you guys.
Maybe she'll ask Crooks what she come to ask and then get home.
What happened to Curly's hand?
George shakes a finger at Crooks.
So it wasn't no machine. Curly didn't act like he was telling the truth. Come on, Crooks, what happened?
I wasn't there. Didn't see it.
What happened? I won't let on to Curly. He says he caught it in a gear. Who done it?
Nobody done it.
So you done it. Well, he had it coming.
I didn't have no fuss with Curly.
Maybe now you ain't scared of him no more. Maybe you'll talk to me sometimes now. Everybody was scared of him.
Say, I didn't sock Curly. If Curly had any trouble, it's none of our affair. Ask Curly about it. Look, I'm going to try to tell you something. I tried to tell you to get out. That didn't do no good. So I'm going to try to tell you in another way. Now, you see, us guys got something that we're going to do. But if you stick around, you're going to gum up the works. It ain't your fault. But look, if a fella steps on a round pebble and he falls down, breaks his neck, it ain't the pebble's fault. But the guy wouldn't have done it if the pebble hadn't been there.
What you talking about pebbles for? If you didn't sock Curly, who did?
Nobody socked Curly. He caught his hand in a machine.
May peers at Lenny.
Where'd you get them bruises on your face?
He caught his hand in the machine.
So it was you. Well, maybe you're dumb like they say you are. And maybe you're the only guy on the ranch with nerve. You're a nice fellow.
Listen. I tried to give you a break, but I'm not going to let you mess up what we're going to do. Now, you let that guy alone and you get out of here.
You ain't telling me what to do. I got a right to talk to anybody I want.
You Milton!
Hand raised to strike May, George freezes. May slips out past Jackson, who stands in the doorway with his bullwhip. George lets his hand fall to his side. Later, Jackson reads a newspaper as May runs downstairs.
You couldn't hardly wait for your pup to get home from his night's drunk so you could snitch on me, could you? But you didn't tell him what I know to tell him.
Grinning, May marches up to Curly and places her hands on her hips.
Who bust your hand, Curly?
I told you I caught it in a machine.
I saw that machine last night.
They told you.
Why didn't you tell your old man so we could can him?
Double crazy.
I'll tell you why. Because you were scared. If you talk, they'd talk too. You were scared you'd get the horse laugh. Like I'm giving you now. Just a pug with a crippled hand!
I ain't even gonna slug you. I'm going upstairs and pack your junk. You're getting out of here. You and me are through.
One, two! The old one, two!
May's laughter turns to sobs as she crumples on the stairs. In the bunkhouse, Candy sweeps the floor as Whit and Carlson play checkers. George and Lenny walk past the window, then step inside.
Toothpick?
That sure was a good breakfast, George.
Probably the last one we'll get in this place.
George.
What?
Sam says to tell you not to worry. He's went to talk to the boss.
If you'd only stayed in your place like I told you.
George, did you send off the money when you was in town last night?
How many times do I have to tell you? You guys drive me nuts.
Now, don't get sore, George. I only asked you. George.
What?
Did you have fun in town?
I just sat around. Susie was cracking jokes. Guys was just starting out to raise a little puny cane. I never been like this in my life. No, I was just pushing out a dime and a nickel to buy a drink. When I think what a lot of carrot seeds you could get for 15 cents.
Not in them little envelope, but bulk seeds you sure can.
Seeds? I can't think of nothing else.
Well, guys got to have some fun. I was to a dance hall in Bakersfield once. What a place. Went upstairs on a red carpet. There's big pictures on the wall. Sat around big soft chairs. There were cigarettes on the table. And it was free. Pretty soon a Jap comes in with drinks on a tray, and them drinks was free. You take all you want. Pretty soon a girl comes in, said she was hostess. She was so polite and nice and quiet and pretty. It made me scared to ask her for a dance. And that was a long time ago.
You say all this was free?
Right up till I was leaving.
And then how much them soft chairs set you back?
$15.
You had a cigarette and a drink and a look at a pretty dress, and it cost you $15. You just shot a week's pay to walk on that red carpet.
A week's pay? Sure. But I worked weeks all my life. I don't remember none of them weeks. But this, nearly 20 years ago, I remember that. The girl I met was named Arlene. And on a pink silk dress.
Slim walks up.
Well, it's okay. You guys ain't gonna get canned.
You sure, Slim?
Lucky for you, the boss has gotta move that grain.
Phew.
I bet Curly's wife catches it, though.
Carrying a suitcase and with a coat over one arm, May steps into the barn. She crouches by the pen holding the puppies.
I was clear through the gate when I remembered you. Your foolish little face. You're coming with me.
May picks up her puppy and holds it to her face. Peering beyond a wooden fence, she sets the puppy down, then crawls atop a pile of hay. May gazes through the fence slats.
What you covering up there?
Lenny peers at May.
Just my pup. Just my little old pup.
May gazes toward the ground.
He's dead.
He was so little. I was just playing with him, and he made like he was going to bite me. And I made like I was going to smack him.
Lenny raises his fist. He lowers it.
Lenny was dead.
Oh, don't worry, none. He was just a mutt. You get another one easy. The whole country's full of mutts.
It ain't that so much. George says if I done any more bad things...
Lenny holds the back of his hand to his mouth, then stands.
Wait a minute, where you going?
Well, I ain't gonna have nothing to do with you. George says I ain't to talk to you nor nothing.
Listen, don't worry about talking to me. Hear those guys yelling out there? They got a tournament. None of them ain't gonna leave till it's over. It ain't gonna be over till dark.
Well, I ain't supposed to. George sees me talking to you, he's gonna be mad. He told me so.
What's the matter with me? I ain't got a right to talk to nobody.
George says you're gonna get us in a mess.
What harm am I doing to you? Seems like they ain't none of them cares how I gotta live.
May sits on a hay bale, then peers up at Lenny, who slowly sits beside her.
Confidentially, I'm going away from here. I'm gonna make something out of myself yet. I ain't used to living like this. I come from Salinas. Come there when I was a kid. Well, a show come through once, and I met one of the actors.
We gonna have a little place and rabbits?
He says he was gonna put me in the movie. Says I was a natural. Soon as he got back to Hollywood, he was gonna write me about it.
Lenny gazes into the distance.
You listening?
May flings a piece of straw at him.
I never got that letter. I always thought my old lady stole it. Well, I wasn't gonna stay no place where you couldn't get nowhere or make something out of yourself. Well, they stole your letters. I asked her if she stole it, too, and she says no. So I married Curly. Met him at the Riverside Dance Palace that same night.
Oh, I hope George ain't gonna be mad about that there pup.
I don't like Curly. I'm leaving. I'm gonna thumb a ride to Hollywood.
We going away from here pretty soon. This ain't no nice place.
I'm gonna get in the movies and wear all them nice clothes. All them nice clothes like they're wearing. And I'll set in them big hotels and they'll take pictures of me. When they have them openers, I'll go and talk on the radio and it won't cost me nothing because I'm in the picture. All them nice clothes like they wear. Because this guy says I'm a natural.
We going away. Far away from here.
Of course, when my old lady hears I run away from Curly, she won't ever speak to me no more. She'll think I ain't decent. That's what she'll think. Well, we ain't really decent, no matter what my old lady tries to hide. My old man was a drunk. They put him away. One night when I was just a little kid, him and my old lady had a terrible fight. They was always fighting. In the middle of the night, he come into my room and he says, "That's you and me run away." He says, "We're gonna live together. We're gonna live together because you're my own little girl. Why, you'll bake little cakes for me and I'll paint pretty pictures all over the wall."
May's smile fades.
But in the morning, they caught us and put him away. I wish would have went. I locked him up for a drunk, and in a little while he died.
Maybe if I took that there pup and throwed him away, George wouldn't never know. Then maybe I could tend the rabbits without no trouble.
You're goofy.
No, I ain't. George says I ain't. I just like to pet nice things. Smooth things.
Well, who don't? Everybody likes that. I like to feel silk and velvet. You like to feel velvet?
You bet, by golly. I had some, too. A lady give it to me. Aunt Clara, she give it right to me. But this big a piece.
About a foot.
I wish I had that velvet right now. I ain't seen it for a long time. I must have lost it.
You're goofy. But you're kind of a nice fella. Just like a big baby. A person can kind of see what you mean. Sometimes when I'm doing my hair, I just sit there and stroke it because it's so soft. Some people got kind of coarse hair. You take Curly. His hair's just like wire. Mine's soft and fine. Here. Here. Right here.
May grabs Lenny's wrist, then lays his hand atop her head. Smiling, he slowly strokes her hair.
Don't you muss it up.
He shakes his head.
You're messing it! Let go! Stop it! Let go!
Please don't! Please don't yell! George is gonna say I've done a bad thing!
Lenny holds his hand across May's mouth. Nodding, he takes his hand away.
Don't do that! You're gonna get me in trouble just like George says you will!
May kicks her feet as Lenny holds her off the ground. One of her high-heeled shoes slips off. As Lenny lets go of her hair, May falls limply to the ground. Kneeling, Lenny lifts May's arm, then releases it. Her arm drops. Standing, Lenny backs away. May lies still. Lenny hurries around a horse stall, then stops. Turning, he runs to the barn door and swings it open. Outside, Lenny shuts the door, then runs off. Slim's dog crawls through a depression beneath the door, then hops into the pen with her pups. May's body lies on the barn floor. The dog lies in the pen. Her puppies jump on top of her. The barn door opens.
Lenny!
Candy walks in.
Lenny!
He steps to the pen, then kneels. Candy sets a wooden bowl in a hay bale, then pours water into it. One by one, he lifts two pups by their scruff and sets them next to the bowl. They lap at the water. Candy picks up a third puppy, then examines the pen.
George's gonna be plenty mad at him taking that pup out. Huh?
Candy holds the pup close to his face.
Slim says I can have one of you guys.
His expression hardening, Candy sets down the puppy. Candy gazes around himself and gently lifts the pup's face as he peers at it. He picks up the puppy and holds it against his face.
I'll ask him.
Holding the pup, Candy walks to the bunkhouse.
Oh, Slim.
He stops at the door and hides the pup behind his back. Candy backs up as George steps to the door.
It's okay, Candy. Your old dog wouldn't mind.
Candy holds the pup in front of himself.
It's lonesome for a guy to be without a dog.
He could have a lot of fun in our little place.
Sure he could. You seen Lenny in the barn?
His pup wasn't there. He must be out playing with him someplace. Now, don't be mad with him, George.
I gotta get him where he won't remember to get any supper.
George pulls May's high heel shoe from Curly's dog's mouth.
Candy! Did that dog follow you out of the barn?
Candy nods. George runs to the barn. Candy follows. Inside, George stops as he spots May's body. He crouches as Candy trots up behind him. Candy crouches as George stands and peers at the body. Holding his fist to his mouth, George grimaces. Standing, Candy grasps George's arm.
What done it?
George peers at Candy, then grimaces again.
George, what done it?
George picks up Lenny's brimmed hat from a pile of hay.
Noted. I think way back in my head, maybe I did.
What are we going to do now, George? What are we going to do now?
I don't know. We can't let him get away.
No, we ought to let him get away. You don't know that Curly. Curly going to want to get him lynched. Curly get him killed.
Yes, that's right. Curly will and the other guys will.
But George, you and me can get that little place, can't we, George? You and me can go there and live nice. Can't we, George? Can't we?
George slowly sits next to Candy.
It's all off, I know. It's all off. He was such a nice fellow, I didn't think he'd do nothing like this.
Lenny never done that meanness.
All the time he done bad things and he never done one of them mean.
I ain't gonna let him hurt Lenny. Listen. Listen, I'm going to the bunkhouse. Then in a minute you come out and tell the guys about her. I'll come along and make out like I never seen her. Will you do that?
Sure, what? George.
I'll do that. Now, give me a couple of minutes and you come running out and yell like you just found her.
George glances at May's body, then runs off. Candy stifles a sob. George slides open a barn door, steps outside, then slides it shut and runs off.
You done it, didn't you? I suppose you're glad. Everybody knows you'd mess things up. You wasn't no good.
Candy stands.
You ain't no good now. Could have hoed in the garden and washed the dishes for them guys. There'd been a pig and chickens. And in the winter, the little fat stove. And the wind and rain coming. And us just sitting there.
Candy yanks off his short knotted tie. He steps past the horse stall toward the door.
Hey, you guys!
George dons a jacket as he hurries to a bunk and sets a suitcase on it. He pulls a gun from the suitcase and sticks it in his waistband. George closes the suitcase, drops it on the floor, then buttons his jacket as he steps to the door. Carlson runs up to him.
Someone's murdered Curly's wife. What?
George runs across the yard. Curly and Jackson hurry into the barn, then crouch amid ranch hands crowding around May's body. Nearby, Slim stands next to George. Curly stands, steps slowly backward, then picks up Lenny's hat. He peers from the hat to his own broken hand.
I know who done it. That big guy done it. I know he done it. Why, everyone else was out there playing horseshoes.
Hey, my Luger's gone. It ain't in my bag.
Maybe you lost it.
No, I seen it there this morning. It's been took.
Then he's armed.
Listen, Mr. Jackson. The poor guy didn't know what he was doing. Tell him not to shoot him.
Not shoot him? He's got Carlson's gun, ain't he? Sure, I'm gonna shoot him. I'm gonna get him myself.
Here they are, Mr. Jackson.
Two men set down rifles outside the barn door. Curly and the ranch hands run out. George turns to Slim.
I suppose we couldn't let him get away?
Not a chance.
Well, couldn't we bring him in and they'll lock him up safe?
If we could only keep Curly here. But you heard him. He's still mad about his hand. Supposing they catch him. They bring him back, strap him down, and lock him up in a cage. That ain't no good, George.
I know it. I know it.
You got any idea where he might have went? I think there's only one way to get Lenny out of this.
George unbuttons his jacket, then pulls out the gun. Slim peers from the gun to George, then nods. George slips the gun backward into his waistband and buttons his jacket. He turns toward the door. Slim lays his hand on George's back, then pushes him forward. George steps across the hay-covered floor, opens the barn door, then steps outside. A river's surface ripples in sunlight. Nearby, a rabbit stands near a rock. Men wearing brimmed hats and carrying rifles walk abreast through the woods. One man with a badge glances over his shoulder. Jackson leads a group of armed men through a clearing. A deer stands near a tree. Curly and another group step through knee-deep water. The deer trots off. A blackbird takes flight. George and Slim run to the bank where George and Lenny camped. They peer to their left and step to a fallen tree and exchange glances. George nods.
You want I should go away?
George nods.
I'll be close by.
Slim pats George's back, then hurries off. George steps over to the tree trunk, then peers through thick undergrowth.
Lenny?
Lenny runs from underbrush to George.
They
George, I come right back here just like you told me to. You wasn't gonna go away and leave me, was you, George?
Lenny glances around himself.
I heard them guys walking through the woods. Well, what was them guys doing in the woods, George?
George peers at Lenny, then looks away.
Hunting?
Oh, well, why'd we go with them? I like hunting.
George looks at Lenny. Lenny's smile fades as he gazes downward.
Is it because I'd done a bad thing?
That don't make no difference.
Is that why we can't go hunting with them guys?
That don't make no difference.
Lenny steps around George and stares into his eyes.
George? Hey, ain't you gonna ball me out?
Well, yeah.
Sure. Well, like you always done. Like, if I didn't have you, I could take my $50.
Lenny, you can't never remember nothing that happened. But you remember every word I say, don't you?
Lenny nods.
Ain't you gonna say it? Go on, George. Say it.
If I was alone, I could live so easy. You'd get me a job. Never have no mess.
And when the end of the month comes...
When the end of the month comes... Take my $50.
Stopping, Jackson holds up his hand. His men stop. George peers over his shoulder. Jackson whistles. Curly and his men stop, then Curly whistles. Jackson nods, motions with his hand, then advances with his men. Curly and the others walk through the water from the opposite direction. George and Lenny peer into the woods.
Go on, George. Tell how it's gonna be.
George lays his hand on Lenny's shoulder.
Lenny, I want for you to sit down there. And I want for you to look across that river. Because I'm going to tell you like you can almost see it.
Uh-huh.
Lenny sits on a thick branch of the fallen tree and peers into the distance.
Hey, go on, George.
We're going to have a little place.
We're going to have a little place.
We're going to have a cow, a pig, and some chickens. And then down in a flat, we're going to have a field of alfalfa.
For the rabbits. And I get to tend the rabbits.
Tend the rabbits.
And we could live off the fat of the land.
Let's keep looking across that river.
George turns Lenny around.
Like you can really see.
George pulls out the gun.
Where?
Right there. Can't you almost see?
Where, there. George?
Look. Just keep looking.
Oh, I'm looking, George. Oh, I'm looking.
It's gonna be nice, Lenny. There ain't gonna be no trouble. No fights. There ain't gonna be nobody mean to steal from you.
Yeah. I can see it. Right over there. George, I can see it.
George shoots. A bandana draped over the gun barrel falls. George slowly lowers the gun. He staggers forward, holds his hand to his stomach, then breathes deeply. He drops his hands. Beneath the tree branch, water ripples. Curly, Jackson, and the rest of the men rush into the small clearing and stop. They step toward the bank and peer into the water. George walks to a tree, then leans on it. Slim appears behind him. As Slim rolls a cigarette, the men run past them. Slim holds out his hand and stops the sheriff. Slim peers at George, who nods and pulls the gun from his pocket. He holds it out to the sheriff, who turns to Slim. Slim nods. The sheriff pulls a bandana from his pocket and covers his own hand with it. George lays the gun on it. As the sheriff slowly wraps the barrel, George peers at Slim, who nods. George and Slim walk off. The sheriff steps after them, swirling leaves fall to the ground. The end. The cast, starring Burgess Meredith as George, Betty Field as May, Lon Chaney Jr. as Lenny, Charles Bickford as Slim, Roman Bowman as Candy, courtesy of Group Theater of New York, Bob Steele as Curly, Noah Beery Jr. as Whit, Oscar O'Shea as Jackson, Granville Bates as Carlson, Lee Whipper as Crooks, and Helen Lind as Susie. Description created by NCI.